Usually, empty is not a good thing. That's the premise we started working with last week, and we continue this week, that usually if something empty, it's not a good thing. So last week we talked about empty gas tanks and empty boxes of cereal. But this week it gets a little bit more serious than that. What happens when we feel empty inside? You feel empty inside when you have lost all hope. When you've lost hope, then it means you stop trying. You truly don't believe that things will change, that they'll ever be better. You can tell if you're starting to lose hope if you say things like, well, it is what it is. What you mean by that is, this is how it is. It's never going to change. It's always going to be this way. You've lost hope. When you lose hope, you feel empty inside. Certainly, Cleopas and the others with him felt empty inside. Listen to what they said. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped. All of that has been dashed now. They're traveling from Jerusalem back to Emmaus, and they had such high expectations. They had all these visions of what Jesus was going to do and who he was and all the things he was going to accomplish. But now all of that is gone because he died on Friday. And according to them, that's not how it was supposed to play out. Oh, yeah, some women say that angels talked about him being alive, but that just confused it. The fact of the matter is, everything that they thought, everything that they expected, everything they anticipated, it wasn't coming true. And so they had lost hope. No doubt you've been there. Maybe you are right now. When life doesn't turn out the way that you thought it was going to, when situations don't work themselves out as you had hoped, maybe it's the career that you thought but you didn't realize, maybe it was the relationship that you hoped for and you prayed for but it didn't materialize, maybe it was the family relationships that you never saw coming, maybe retirement isn't quite what you thought it was going to be. Whenever we have high expectations for things and then they don't come true, we run the risk of losing hope. It is what it is. It's never going to change. And when we lose hope, we feel empty inside. So empty's not a good thing. Unless it is the tomb that once held the body of Jesus Christ. Then empty is the greatest thing that happened to mankind and the greatest thing that happened to you. Because if the tomb is empty, that means that Jesus is alive and the resurrected Savior says that we indeed can have hope. Because if Jesus is alive, all of his promises, all of his word is true. And so this morning I want us to be filled with hope because of the empty tomb. Because Jesus listens, Jesus teaches, and Jesus is always present with us. So be filled with hope because Jesus listens. Now maybe that doesn't sound all that important to you, but in reality, being heard is one of the most important things we as human beings value. To know that somebody is actually listening to us, that they care enough about us, that they want to hear what we have to say. Stephen Covey, the author, he said this, being listened to is the psychological equivalent of air. It is at the deepest hunger of the human heart. We just want to be heard. We want somebody else to empathize with us. I know that my better moments as a father and as a husband is when I have learned to keep my mouth closed and to just listen. I can't tell you how many times the four daughters I've sat as they have poured out their hearts for 20, 30 minutes at a time. And those times that I managed the self-discipline of not saying a word, I was the hero. But those times when I decided I should offer a piece of advice, I just didn't understand. Because they didn't need my advice. They didn't want my advice. They wanted to know that I cared enough to listen to them. You see, when somebody is listening to us, then we can verbalize all the thoughts that are going on in our head. And when we verbalize things, oftentimes we get clarity. We understand what's going on inside of us. We might even see some flaws in our thinking as we talk about it. It's also an emotional release as we can let out all of the frustration, all of the anger maybe that's there, the disappointment. And once somebody has heard us, we know that they love us, they value us. And all of a sudden, a little bit of hope creeps back in. Jesus listens. Jesus listens. Look at the account of the disciples going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're walking along the road. Jesus joins them. They're kept from recognizing him. And what is the first thing that Jesus does? He listens to them. He asks what they're talking about. He asks for clarification. And then he doesn't open up his mouth. He listens to them. Even when they ask him, which has great irony in it, by the way, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's been happening around here? I'm guessing they replayed that comment time and time again afterwards, asking Jesus if he's the only one that didn't know what was going on in the last few days. But never mind, Jesus listened to them as they poured out their heart. They told them all their hopes and all their expectations and how it was gone now. And certainly it was filled with emotion as they felt despair, as they felt maybe even angry about things that had happened. But Jesus just listened because Jesus loved them and valued them. Jesus listens to you. He invites you to talk to him. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, go ahead and come to me. I've got open ears. Come and pour out your hearts to me. If we're feeling without hope, if life isn't turning out the way we thought, if situations have gone south, we have an opportunity through prayer to lay out all of our thinking and all of our thoughts to God. And I'm not talking about some formal written out prayer. I'm talking about just stream of consciousness, just laying it all on the line, right? Either in your head or verbally just talking to God and telling him everything that's on your heart and everything that is on your mind and expressing your despair, expressing your frustration, even expressing your anger because he's got big shoulders. He can handle that as well. And then to know that he's listening, that he values you, that he loves you. And all of a sudden, hope starts creeping back in. Be filled up with hope because Jesus listens. Be filled with hope because Jesus teaches. Oftentimes, when we lose hope, we also lose perspective. In other words, the situation hasn't turned out the way that we thought it was going to turn out. And now, all of a sudden, we're blind from seeing any other conclusion, any other solution to it. Certainly, this is where the disciples were at, on the road to Emmaus. Because they had had a certain way. Jesus was supposed to come in. He was supposed to rally the troops. They're going to revolt against Rome. We'd raise him up as the king, just like David. It didn't happen that way. And they couldn't see anything else. That's why Jesus said this to them. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Unfortunately, we translate that word fool or foolish. There's no way that Jesus would call his grieving disciples fools. That's not the intention here. The intention one actually is one of compassion. I would put it this way. Jesus looked at them and said, oh, you guys don't see, do you? You can't quite grasp it. You don't get it. You're slow of heart. In other words, your emotions are getting in the way. Your frustration, your disappointment, that's getting in the way for you to see anything else besides what you expected to happen. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus teaches them. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself. He opened up for them a new perspective. They thought the Messiah was one thing, but he shows them through the scriptures, no, the Messiah is something else, and he shows himself to be the Messiah. The result? The result is hope is creeping back into their hearts. You know how I know? When they're talking to one another after Jesus disappears, what is it they say? Were not our hearts burning inside of us as we walked along the road? See, all of a sudden Jesus was teaching to them, showing them, opening up for them a different perspective, a different conclusion. And all of a sudden they've got hope. Jesus wants to teach us as well. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. He says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Learn from Jesus. What is it that we need to learn from Jesus? Sometimes we need to see things differently. Sometimes we need to have different priorities of what's really important. Great example of that is when a couple buddies take their friend who's been lame since birth, and Jesus is sort of holding court, but it's so busy they can't get to him, so they climb up on the roof. Do you remember this story? They put a hole in the roof, and they lower their friend down just in front of Jesus. Now, all of them were convinced that what this man really needed is he needed to walk. But what is the first thing that Jesus says to him? Your sins are forgiven. That's what his greatest need was. That's what our greatest need is. And after he puts things in perspective, he says, your sins are forgiven. He says, now pick up your mat and go on home. See, Jesus is teaching us, giving us hope again. What does Jesus need to teach you? What does he need to teach me? Is it patience? Is it perseverance? Does he want to fortify your faith and make it stronger? Does he want to show you that maybe there's a different solution than the one that you had in mind? Let Jesus teach you. You're losing hope? Open up the Bible. See what he has to say to you. Now, the Bible is not a great big book of answers to every specific situation in life. I think we all know that. But what the Bible is it tells us everything that we need to know about God and everything that we need to know about us. And if you want to have hope restored, if you want to have a different perspective, then read the Word of God and learn from Jesus. I suggest start with the Gospels, paying special attention to the type in red. The words of Jesus, what does he have to say to you? And as Jesus teaches, hope creeps back in. You can be filled up with hope because Jesus teaches. And you can be filled with hope because Jesus is present. He is with us. There's nothing worse than the sinking feeling of isolation, of believing that you've got to face the situation all by yourself. In fact, psychologists say that loneliness is actual physical pain. Perhaps you've been there. You've been so lonely, so isolated, that it actually hurts, the idea that you have to do this by yourself. But you don't, because Jesus is always present. Look what happened to our disciples from that went to Emmaus. It says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open and they recognized him. Their eyes were open, they recognized him. So all of a sudden they say, this is Jesus. And I wonder at what point did they realize, you know what? He was with us the whole time. It wasn't just at that moment. Jesus had been with them the whole time. Certainly with the breaking of the bread, it's reminiscent of when he instituted the Lord's Supper. And certainly we can make that connection for us that he is present in the supper. But he's more than just present in the supper. Certainly there, he gives us in the sacrament something tangible, something real that we can taste, that we can feel, and we can see. But Jesus is always present with us. Have you ever had that experience where you went through some pretty rocky waters, and then in the end you look back and you go, oh, he was always with me. He was always right there. That's the promise of Jesus. He says he'll be with us to the very end of the age. And then in addition to that, he gives us each other. Jesus calls us, his believers, the body of Christ. So we're the physical body of Christ right here, right now, in a tangible way. We don't have to face things alone. You have fellow brothers and sisters in this room and in this congregation and throughout the world who will walk alongside of you, who you can lean upon, who you can trust. That's what the body of believers is about. We can be filled with hope because Jesus is present. And hope is what we need. You know what kind of hope we need? We need the kind of hope of this little guy who is playing baseball. He's playing his little league match, and a man walks by and he says, "Hey, kid, what's the score?" The little guy looks back and goes, 18-0, we're losing. The guy says, "Wow, you don't seem very discouraged over that." The little guy says, "Discouraged? Why would I be discouraged? We haven't even made it to bat yet." See, now that's hope. See? That says things aren't what they seem. The empty tomb. Things aren't what they seem. That's why we can be filled with hope. Amen. Stand and pray with me. Lord Jesus, we look to the empty tomb and we know that you are alive and alive for all time. We thank and praise you that you're always there to listen to us, never saying a word, just letting us pour our heart out to you. We pray that through your word that you would teach us and that we would know your presence, both your presence with us, but also presence in further believers, so that you would fill us with hope. It's in your name we pray. Amen.